The book tracks the effort to become more fully human, and it feels very phenomenological. And so there's a couple things I wonder about this. So this, I guess, is a two-part question, and I'm not sure exactly how to ask it, but I'm wondering how the process of writing the poetry aligns with your own way of writing fiction. Is there a sketch or outline from which you write individual poems? And how do you make it so visceral when, you know, could you have been there? I'm not sure. You know, they're in the process of purgatory. They're in the process of, the Buddhists might look at it as the place where you are before you drink that bowl of soup and forget all about your past life and incarnate again. So a couple of different angles to that question. Do you use a sketch?
I'm not sure I know what you mean by sketch. If you mean outline,
yeah.
No.
No. No, that's what I mean. An outline of, this chapter is going to do this, and this chapter is going to do that, and what have you.
I don't find an outline. I mean, I don't start with an outline in most cases. I find something, shape, outline, sketch, in the course of the writing, possibilities of form and structure as I write. The way I write poetry and the way I write fiction are pretty much the same. The one grew out of the other. The Dear Angel of Dust series, the first few letters, and what became that series actually occur in the Song of Beyond Dumbulu. But again, back to what I said earlier about coming into writing, writing a piece, writing pieces, with some sense of what's on one's mind, some sense of what, one wants to get down on paper, some sense of what one wants to say. There's that, but there's also leaving oneself open to what is in that you wouldn't necessarily know at the beginning is in there. I mean, writing is an activity. Certain things happen in the course of writing that, you don't plan. Certain directions, and that's, you have to do it. You have to put yourself in, in the act of writing for those things to happen. You can't plan it all out, in advance. Mm-hmm. So I try, to have, some kind of grip on, the things that are of moment, for my writing, but not too tight a grip. And to let the writing, in a sense, talk back to me. A lot of what I do is, just jotting things down that are fragments or pieces that I don't know, how they're going to fit with other pieces. But I just, negative capability. I don't require that I understand that yet. I work towards understanding it. I work towards, seeing, what is this the tip of? What is this a piece of? Not that I necessarily get to some kind of symmetrical, coherent piece of writing that, offers all of those sort of, classical, rational amenities.
Right.
But I do get to something that seems to have some, to me, I mean, the test is that, is there life in it? I mean,
and does it swing?
Does it swing? That's enough. That's what people are talking about when they say, when they talk about swing. Is it animate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it animate?
Uh-huh.
Years ago I read this book by. This book called A Musical View of the Universe, and I make reference to it in a number of places in my critical work and elsewhere. And it's about people in, I think, the Kalapulo in South America and their notions of the world and of life, and music plays a large part in how they see the universe, and they look at things in the world as occupying different orders of animacy, and as it turns out for them, music has the highest order of animacy. But for me, you know, swing is another way of talking about an order of animacy. And we can see that not just in music, but does a painting, you know, what order of animacy does this painting have? What order of animacy does this this story or this poem have? What order of animacy does this piece of sculpture arrive at? So that, you know, that's kind of, you know, I feel my way, and that's what I'm feeling and groping and looking for, something that is animate, mm-hmm. and swings.
So the process is very organic, as you describe it, and Denise Levertov had a sort of a friendly amendment to what Robert Creeley told Charles Olson, and that is, form is never more than a revelation of content. And it seems that that's exactly what you're talking about, the process of discovery. It seems to me that when reading poetry that has that process of discovery, it's more satisfying to me than that poetry which doesn't. And we alluded to this earlier. But getting back to the other part of the question, how phenomenological this work reads in something that I guess we've experienced, you know, we have to, if this is the process of what happens to us before we, you know, incarnate as human beings. So I guess I'm a little dumbstruck by how this work, that in a sense is fiction, has such a feeling of being there. Maybe that's just the quality of the work, Nate. I don't know.
That's what I wanted. I mean, that's what I would want. And when I say that, you know, that it has to, you know, when I feel my way towards, the composition that the pieces comprise, you know, that sense of aliveness, that sense of animacy, that, you know, in some sense predates or survives the particular form of life and of organizing life that we find ourselves in right now. You know, I'm not trying to be a documentarian of the present moment, although what I'm attuned to or want to be attuned to has to have resonances with the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense that there's something apart from that, or beyond that, or that extends that. I mean, that statement of Creeley's that you alluded to, form is never more than an extension of content. Of course, Levertov says, yeah, revelation of content. But I'm interested in that word extension, and that it does take the form of a verb. I mean, to extend something. And I'm interested in how writing, how form can extend content. And content can come from any number of places. But, you know, the most obvious place that people look for content is in, you know, the author's biography and the author's context. But my emphasis on, you know, extension as an act, as an activity, you know, involved with the verb to extend, puts a premium on, you know, on going beyond or outside or farther than, or maybe just deeper into, you know, the most obvious forms of content. So maybe in doing that, you know, it touches on something or draws on something that, you know, is elsewhere or comes from elsewhere or mm-hmm. comes from inside. You mm-hmm. know, again, the sense of an inner life,
mm-hmm.
you know, soul making, spirit, you know, the spirit within the letter, you know. I think there's a strong drive in me to be, you know, to be a carrier of that sense in the work that I do,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to whatever extent, you know, that I do, you know, mission accomplished, I guess.
I think so.